And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. There is always a very special energy in the room when we have Mahones on hand. And we are really excited that today on the morning show we can look back over the long, proud, and significant legacy of the Mary Lou and Arthur F. Mahone Foundation and the quarter century in which this foundation has been accomplishing great things in the community. And as a matter of fact, coming up at Carthage this weekend, is it Friday night or Saturday night? Now I'm
Friday.
Friday night.
Friday, May 9th.
Is the 25th anniversary Reaching for Rainbows Pursuit of Excellence Gala, which will, among other things, be a moment to celebrate lives past, present, and future that have been changed by the many scholarships that have been given by the Mary Lou and Arthur F. Mahone
Very
Foundation.
Well, said.
Well, I'm glad to get a good compliment from artists Mahone and her brother Tim Mahone.
She is the boss.
Yes.
No, but very well said. And thank you.
Well, thank you. And we're happy to have it with us as well, Tamara Coleman, who is, I think your exalted title is Chief Executive Officer,
Ooh,
right?
It is exalted. It's exhausting. Is that the word I want to use?
Exactly. Of the Racine Family YMCA. And I hope no one will be offended when I say that the single most important guest we have on hand today, even among all this illustrious company, is someone who has been a very direct beneficiary, if you will, of the Mary Lou and Arthur F. Mahone Foundation. One Kaylin Bell.
Oh, yes.
And way back in 2012.
Hey, who's in the room?
Yeah,
hey.
Although I am 25, I could have gotten it, but I was one.
So it's like a revival meeting we have here in the room. It's great. And we're so glad that Kaylin Bell is on hand to look back over more than a decade to when he received a scholarship through this program and the way in which it made a difference in his life. So there's a lot to talk about today, a lot to celebrate, and we welcome all four of you to the morning show.
And we thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good
to be back.
That's why we're here. Tim, could you just say a quick word about all the excitement that is going to be happening this coming Friday night at the so-called TARC on the campus of Carthage College?
Yeah, first time ever in TARC, right? Typically, we're in a Todd Ware, and we've outsold that space for almost 10 years now, and couldn't be more proud. First of all, thank you for having us back. It's always a pleasure here that you give us a space to convey our story about the impact we're making in the community on behalf of my mother and father and all the volunteers and supporters that help us. But this Friday is magical because it is 25 years of, quarter century, right, of investing in our young people and providing opportunities for them. So it's celebrating a lot of different things, right? The access that we often talk about, the affordability that we often talk about in terms of affordable education for our students and giving them the opportunity to grow and be successful, investing in their collegiate journeys. And it's celebrating our expansion in the Racine, which is also just a wonderful opportunity to support our academic partners who look to provide more opportunities and resources for our young people. So the regional impact continues. We're excited about a sold-out event. We'll always make room for somebody, but it is sold out. Right. So we're expecting over 650 people.
Wow.
And that's the largest event that we've ever had in this for Reaching for Rainbows. But again, it represents the collection of Kenosha's generosity, right? And it also, and Kaylin will speak to this, but to watch our young people come back and invest their time into the organization that provided for them is fulfilling to me and my sister and my family. Because it really isn't about us, right? It's really about the lanes that we're creating for our young people, right? We're in a very competitive society. Kenosha's growing. And so it's important for us to have a place for these young folks to land in our own community. Right. So the mosaic of our community is represented through the Mahone Foundation. And we just couldn't be more proud to celebrate that in one big evening. We're in the track and field facility. Imagine that. So, our committee is reimagining the TARC.
Right.
So with all the great people over at Carthage. And I gotta tell you, if you're going to be a host, you got to host like Carthage.
Right.
They've been very supportive of our journey. Obviously, they're a very strong academic institution in this region, and our partnerships demonstrate that. Over 400 scholarships have been awarded over the 25 years, and we're honoring 25 students this year, Mahone students, to celebrate the 25 years. So, again, just a unique, special place for all of us. And you know what's crazy, though? My parents wouldn't appreciate all the attention. Right? They just do it because that's what we're here to do.
Hey, sure. Tim,
right? We're taking God's talents. Right. Yeah, my dad very seldom went. Talk about disinterested, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So, you know, it's we're very proud to be here.
Yeah, well, very good. And I'm sure for whatever chagrin they are feeling in the great beyond, I'm sure they're looking down, smiling with great pride at what you and artists and others have created. Let's take a moment to talk about them. To talk about Mary Lou and Arthur F. Mahone. Artists, let's turn to you first.
Okay.
I always enjoy hearing you talk about your mother and father and what they were like as parents and what they were like as forces in the community. Why don't you get this started, and we'll take
I think
Tim
my parents were forces and parents to everybody. You know, our house was an open door. As children, we would say Ma, and the kids would say Miss Mahone, Pa, Mr. Mahone. You know, the adults in the community always came to Mom and Dad, and they were adults. They weren't children, but they acted like children when they came to Mom and Dad. There was so much love, but they didn't take any mess. Okay, and it was one of those things where you could come into the house, jazz would be playing, food would be cooking, or there'd be a lot of music, just love. I mean, my parents, I don't know, it's just, it's lonely without them. I think that I can say it as their child, but if you would ask people that have ever met them, they'd say, oh, I miss Miss Mahone. I miss Mr. Mahone. You know, I mean, it's... And doing this, for me, you know, Tim says, I'm selfish. I'll put it up there up front. You know, I'm selfish. And I just, they will tell you that when I walk into the event, my expectations are up there. And these children that are getting these scholarships, it's not just for them. It's for their family. You know, if you could sit back and see the pride and the proud of the mothers and the fathers and the grandmas, and they're crying and, oh, my baby, and, you know, okay, your baby. You know, but our expectations, my expectations of your baby is up here. Okay, because they're representing my parents. And if my parents were alive, they would tell them, you need to handle your business and do it the right way.
Right.
You know, and then Daddy graduating and being a teacher here from Gateway, that says a lot too. Okay, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Mom and Dad.
So I like the way you describe that, because sometimes when you think about people, oh, they were so loving, that sometimes all it is, you know, sweetness and kindness and so on. But it sounds like there was strength and character and integrity, and they wanted the best from
everybody.
You and from everybody.
From everyone. You couldn't walk in their house, and it's just total respect. I mean,
I'm laughing because everything she's saying is I experienced myself growing up here in Kenosha with the Mahone family. But one thing that you really said that really stuck to me is, and I don't know if it was so much that she was firm and because she was all those things, but as a leader, you have to set that tone, right? I felt like she saw potential in young people. She saw the potential in you that you may not have seen in yourself.
You're right.
So when you're young like that, you think it's being firm or she's, you know, being hard on you. She really saw something in you that you didn't see in yourself, and she wanted to invest in you. She wanted to pour into you so that somehow, some way, you would be sitting here like Mr. Bell, Kalen Bell, you know, with experience now. He's a young man. He's gone to Boston, you know, and lived a little bit. Now he's back here. pouring back into the community that that poured into him. So again, I think, you know, when when you look back on it, you know, all these years later, because I'm only 24, right? I mean, you know, it's just a couple years ago. But when you look back on it, she pushed me. She saw something that I didn't see in myself that I didn't want to do. That I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going in the corporate world. And she kept saying, no, you need to be in this community. You need to be serving. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing, yeah, go get your education. That's so important. But there's so much greater and more that you can do. And that's what it was to me.
And here you are.
Yeah. And so sitting out in the backyard and the barbecues and dancing, blocking off the streets the streets for the black parties and the whole neighborhood coming together. She was the mother of the neighborhood. She was, but not just the neighborhood, of the community. Because you came from all different walks of life. You came from all different sides of town. And she saw something in each one of those individuals. And that's what I feel is so important about Miss Mahone and Mr. Mahone.
Fantastic. Well, and we've been talking mostly about Mrs. Mahone. Let's talk about your father just for a moment. I mean, did he have that same sort of quality? And what kind of a partnership were they?
He had a, but my daddy was debonair. Okay, he would sit back and he could sew. He could play the organ. He could speak Japanese and write it. He was a welding instructor. He was, excuse the expression, a hell of a father. Okay, hell of a grandfather. In the community, shoot pool. Daddy was everything. I mean, Daddy was, he had maybe 50 bottles of cologne in the house. And people would say, well, Mr. Mahone, where'd you get that from? They'd ask him about his color. But my father stood. He had a sense of what was right. Okay. And he demanded that from his children and from you as a person he knew. He had the same qualities Mom had, but he just expressed them differently.
Right.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
Right? He was very behind the scenes. Right. And Tamara talked about things in our backyard. My dad was a very disciplined father, right? Raising nine kids, 2-3 jobs at a time, making sure my mother had the resources to go into the community she needed to not only be a strong mother, but a strong mother to the community. He understood that mission. So he worked hard behind the scenes, the welding jobs. But he also took care, like Tamara said, with students in his own way. He was not like my mother in terms of personality, style, but like Artis said, it was very debonair, and they did it together. Married 51 years, right? My dad probably should have been a doctor, but he's raising nine kids.
Right?
And that's what the focus was. And he demanded respect by example. By example, right? And so I was always kind of good cop, bad cop, right? You're going to see my mom in the front of the community, long, beautiful black fingernails, looking at you stern, talking about life and investment, as Tamara talked about. My dad was behind the scene talking to his young boys about what it means to raise a family, what it means to be a community leader, what it means to protect the neighborhood, but also respect blackness. All right? Kenosha was going through a very difficult time in race relations, and both my parents were at the table balancing that discussion about the importance of race in Kenosha. And I think that's where it was pivotal for both my parents in terms of their respect in the community. They didn't pick one race over the other. We were all there as one community. Our community was very mixed. Australians, Egyptians, black, Hispanic, Argentinian. We're all in the same bus going to school together. There's lessons in that journey. And that's what we talk about in the Mahone Foundation as the mosaic of Kenosha, and how that comes together for the benefit of everybody.
Very well put.
We needed to record that. That's recorded.
That's what I'm doing right over here.
That's good. That's good right there.
Amen, as they say.
Amen. Right. Amen.
For those of you just joining us, we are talking about the Mary Lou and Arthur F. Mahone Foundation and the 25th anniversary Reaching for Rainbows Pursuit of Excellence Gala that is coming up this Friday night at Carthage College, which will look back over 25 years. And one of the guests that we'll be getting to in just a moment is Kaylin Bell, who was a proud recipient of a scholarship from the Mahone Foundation back in 2012. Before we get to Kaylin, Tim and Artis, I would love to hear a little bit about at what point you decided that you wanted your parents' to be remembered and for their legacy to live on with the creation of a foundation. I mean, lots of people love and admire their parents, but not everybody takes the time and trouble and expense to start a foundation in memory of their parents. But you felt moved to do that.
I'm just going to say this, and then I want Tim to take over. Mm-hmm. The day after Mommy died, that young man over there named Tim Mahone and several people said, we're going to do this. Take it away, Tim.
Wow.
what a great transition.
Yeah, this was that's a tough pivot. But, you know, it's I took a lot of pride in watching my mother. And her journey of uplifting the community. And as a young kid, when you're going to the Kenosha Community Action Agency, the Urban League, you're filling out documentation of families who are in need. And I watched her do this, and I watched the community respond to her leadership of bringing the community together, one individual at a time, right? She didn't discriminate against people or the issues that they were challenged with. She always found a way to resolve their problems and distribute resources accordingly, right? And growing up watching this and going off to college, and I'm just going to be straight up, I said to my mom, you deserve to have your legacy perpetuated in ways that are profound for Black people, but represents culture and community. And why? Because when white people die, their names get put everywhere. And I said that to my friends. They're like, why are you doing this? I said, my mom deserves, not for her, but for the generations after her to understand the impact one woman, one family can have on a community. So it wasn't about race, but there wasn't enough Blackness being acknowledged for the accomplishments. Because we all can do well. We all can have a disciplined approach to improving community and improving the human condition if we sit at the table and talk about it. Because we all end up advancing the same things about our children and our families, good education, good neighborhoods, down in crime, and all those things. But if you work together. So I watched her do all this. I watched my parents do all this. And I just felt in a real simple way, why not my parents?
Wow. And is it right, is artist correct, that it was like the very next, the day after she died, pretty much?
Yeah, we made the decision.
We made the decision before then because I wanted her to bless it. And we didn't know a whole lot about foundations. Well, there's not a lot of Black philanthropy in Kenosha, and the wealth gaps are huge. And this is what this is all about, creating generational wealth. So after my mom blessed it, there were a few people that I called together, and we met right next door across the street. As I already said, when my mom passed away, with my uncle Leroy, Pastor Arrington, Ralph Tenuta, Pepe Madrigrano, Joan Wilk, and Howard Brown.
Wow, some biggies in the community. Yeah.
And we all sat around the table talking about, you know, the commitment to making this work. And it was talking about live and in color. We were Howard Brown was on the phone with the Kenosha News. We took the proceeds from the funeral, in addition to resources from my father, and started the fund. And the fund was about scholarships, and the fund was about breast cancer awareness, because that's why my mom passed away. But we devised the plan the very next day across the street.
Wow.
That's how it came together. And from the 25 years later, here we are, 400 kids later, many, many Kalins. Tomorrow's daughter, you'll get to that, is a recipient. So there's a lot of touch points here that represent, again, not just my parents, but the work of community and the work to advance the human condition that we all can invest in. So it's very grassroots. And I don't mean to suggest, you know, many people think we come from millions, come from a lot of money. This was a grassroots effort of bringing people together. And the simplicity of that journey is the story.
Yeah.
So we can teach other families to take few resources and do great things.
That's all you need. That's a great example right then and there. Well, let's not go any further without taking a look at the life and legacy of the young man sitting next to you, Kalen Bell. First of all, Tim, what's it feel like to be sitting next to Kalen and have him be part of this conversation?
It's less work we have to do now. We're going to pass the torch. It feels great.
Very
good. The next generation, the new languaging. I'm learning all those things.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Social media. No.
So out of the hundreds of recipients of scholarships from the Mahone Foundation over the years, Kaylin Bell is the one you wanted to invite to be part of this conversation. Is there any particular reason why you thought Kaylin would be an especially good spokesman on behalf of the foundation?
Well, he's doing the work. His father called me. Can I share the story?
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
His father called me because he was returning to Kenosha and said, "Hey, my son's coming back to town, and I need you to talk with him because I know the Mahone Foundation is doing good things, and my son's coming back to give back to the community." So we met, reconnected, and asked him what he was really trying to do here. Was it a short term, long term? What are your goals, aspirations? And he said, "I wanted to give back, and I wanted to give back to the organization that gave to me." And that's all I needed to hear because there's a long list of things to do.
Wow.
And he accepted the challenge because he certainly could have said no. And we were very straight up. We are in a transition of growth, which takes a lot of new faces, new energy to get us to the next level.
Sure.
And he accepted that challenge. And I'll let him speak about his personal reason. But I love our students. They all come with different strengths, but it's all good energy. And they all want to come back and give back so they can pour into the next generation. And the other thing we never talked about with our parents is we were raised around connecting generations, the strength of intergenerationality. And that's what this is.
Yeah.
So
no
that
kidding.
The whole trajectory is empowered, right? And so that's why he's here. And I think he loves what he's doing. At least I hope so.
I do.
Fantastic. Kaylin, it's great to have you here. I'm excited to hear from you. So first of all, tell us a little bit about your early life growing up in Kenosha, leading up to that momentous year of 2012.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school? What kinds of things were you doing? And what were you interested in as a young man?
Well, first, let me start by saying, you know, I actually never had the great privilege of meeting Mr. and Mrs. Mahone as a young man, but I wish I had, just to say thank you, you know, for investing and believing in the potential of young men and women in our community. You know, I think that as a young kid, you know, I went to Harborside, graduated from Harborside, but my parents were pastors.
Oh.
And they still are in the Kenosha and Racine area. And so I grew up understanding what service looks like. I grew up understanding what sacrifice looks like, what it sounds like, you know, and not just on a Sunday, but what it required Monday through Saturday.
Absolutely.
To give your life to something.
I'm a PK also.
Oh.
So
yeah, PK, PK too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so,
I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of amens.
Hey, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Continue, Kaylin.
And so, you know, that sacrifice service is programmed and instilled in me and my siblings, you know. And so there was a requirement, you know, I heard Ms. Artis talking about the requirement of what you expect out of a Mahone scholar, you know. And I think that I grew up people looking at me and expecting much. I'm the result of people having expectations, you know, and I think that's one of the largest reasons I've come back and tried to pour out and help and offer my skills is because, you know, one of the biggest things that can change someone's life is expecting something of them.
Yeah.
That's right.
Expecting more of them than they expect of themselves.
You
right.
Go ahead, boy.
So that's my story, really.
Yeah.
Is people believing in me. I'm not necessarily unique or impressive in and of myself. I'm really the result of a lot of people believing in me.
Wow.
And that forcing me to grow a little bit, you know, forcing me to grow up and stretch myself and challenge and grow in my skill sets and in my giftings. And so before even I was a Mahone scholar, you know, I knew I wanted to be somebody. And the Mahone family believed in me as well. And so I am incredibly just grateful for people investing in my potential, essentially.
So tell us about, very directly or specifically, the difference that the scholarship made. I mean, you were able to go to college and do some study, and tell us where you went and what you did.
Sure. I'm a Lacrosse, University of Wisconsin Lacrosse grad. So I graduated in 2016 with a communication studies degree in broadcast and digital media. And so I spent some time on the airwaves as well in undergrad, doing some weekend pop radio and doing some play-by-play for sports, football and baseball. And, you know, at the time, you know, the benefit of being a Mahone Scholar is, you know, not just the financial resource. You know, actually one of the requirements at the time is community service.
And it still is.
And so for my experience, you know, and I love that because, you know, you don't, there's a requirement, right? And so we receive and we're beneficiaries, but as you progress in your years, in my undergrad years, invest in your community. You know, tell us the story of how you're contributing, right? How you're offering what you're learning and then giving back. And so that was something that I appreciated and remember and think fondly on because, you know, as a young man, oftentimes we go to college and we receive. And so many people are investing in us and all about you and what you're going to do with your life and what you're going to become. But the Mahones ask, what are you helping others to become that whole time? And so I, from 2012 to 2016, I was able to not just receive an education, but I learned what it looked like to be a part of a community and to actually leave campus and figure out what's going on. You know, a lot of my, you know, influences were, you know, community leaders, you know, as a young college kid. And so I think that that has really helped shaped even my understanding as I've returned to Kenosha from many years after grad school and working in Boston. I feel the same way. It's like there's still a responsibility to community and investing in the potential of a community, just like people invested in me.
What would you say that giving back for you has looked like over these years? What are some of the things you have tried to do, and especially now, what are the things you are trying to do in that giving back mode that you're talking about so eloquently?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of education and tutoring and mentorship. One-on-one. I love one-on-one, you know, and being able to build a relationship with young black men specifically. You know, of all age ranges, but someone that, you know, I like see myself in you. And whether it's, you know, reading, tutoring, and obviously like just developing life skills together, right? And being a healthy influence. And so any programs in college, it was a lot of, you know, after school programming, you know, and just helping development and assisting with young men, elementary, middle school, and athletics as well, like giving back, helping to coach. You know, some of the things that helped me sort of gain social skills and learn to be a man. Those are really vital skills and experiences for young people. So I really appreciated it. But being able to, you know, and a lot of times you don't really know the impact that you're having. Sometimes you think what you're saying and what you're doing is going in one ear and out the other, right? But sometimes, you know, you realize over time, you know, you reach back out or people reach back out to you and say, this is what I'm doing now, and I just want to thank you. And so the thank yous help fuel a lot of the work, too. It's like, oh, okay, because you were giving me a lot of trouble when I was working with you when you were younger. So I thought, you know, I thought it was a lost cause. But, you know, rarely is it ever a lost cause, even if it feels like one, because they're seeds. And sometimes, you know, some people water. But, you know, God causes the growth. And I think that that has really impacted the way that I see a lot of the investment and service in my life.
Well, and of course, a lot of times you are just a piece of it. You are a piece of the puzzle. You are maybe one person's one incremental step forward, and other people along the way, you know, help make more and more things happen. And we're never in a position to ultimately know what kind of difference we've made just in our moment intersecting with somebody else's life. But it sounds like you're very committed to making other people's lives better in whatever way you can. Talk about the decision you made to leave the lively, exotic city of Boston and to return to your hometown of Kenosha. And was that a hard decision to make? Or
I never thought it would be. I mean, it was a difficult decision. you know, I loved my time in Boston. You know, I received a great education in Boston. I made a lot of friends in Boston. I made a life in Boston. But I also have a life here back home, you know, in Kenosha. And, you know, when I made the decision, I think every transition is challenging, right? But I think one of the things that made it a little bit easier is knowing that I had a legacy here. And it's not just mine, but it's my family's legacy, right? It's the Mahone family. I mean, I know that there are people who, and a lot of what I care about mainly is, hey, how can, I want a community to go back to, right? Mm. People that I can work with and plan with and strategize with. And I like, I gotta be used. I gotta be useful. Mm-hmm. That's what I want it to be. I want to be useful.
Right.
So Tim here, you know, he's jokingly saying, you know, he's, you know, taking some things and, you know, taking some burden off of Tim or whatever it is that I can help. But that's true, though. Yeah. Like, I wanted to give back even to my parents who are still pastoring. And mm-hmm. that was incentive to come back and to help with the church and with the community there. But, you know, Boston's a thriving city, but Kenosha has thriving elements, has so much potential, has so many young people.
For sure.
And I think that that has really sort of grounded me in my return. Mm. And, you know, there's a lot of places you could be, but there's not as many, not many Mahones,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of places, a lot of things we could do, but there's not a lot of organizations and foundations that are doing this type of work. That, you know, are willing to bring me in and allow me to be part of the story.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
You know, I wish the listeners at home could see the look on Tim's face mm-hmm. and Tamara's face and Artis's face, beaming, just listening to you talk, Kaylin, about yourself and about your life and your commitment to all of these issues and, so committed to making the world a better place. That's got to make all of you feel so good to see this legacy living out in this really direct way.
Can I say this?
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing about the Mahone family. If we're touching you, you become family.
You do. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that Tim talks about all the time. He says, you're part.
This is a monthly test of the Southeast and South Central Wisconsin Emergency Alert System. In the event of an emergency, this system would bring you important information. This test is now concluded.
Artis, please continue.
Well, I was saying that, but family. And I don't know, Tim, how many kids who are in our family now. We started out with the 8 or 9 that mom and dad birthed us with, but we've got family, and he's one of them. And what we hear here is this young man says everything that my parents would be talking about, mm-hmm. and you can tell he got it from his parents. And, you know, but that's family talk right there. Mm. You know, he says, Tim meant what he said about doing some work. He wasn't joking, you know. Yeah. But it's all about family.
Yeah, family, capital F.
Capital F, right? And the fact that his father, Pastor Bell, remembered the family connection and sent him our way is the connecting point that this represents, right? Tamara is a parent of a recipient, and she'll speak to that as well. And our parents are equally the cornerstone of these relationships, because what wasn't happening, a lot of these students are first generation. Many had not gone to college. Many had. But the message is that now at your dinner table, we have legacy families where brothers and sisters have now gotten a Mahone scholarship, where they may not have been talking about college before or even leaving Kenosha for college.
Right.
So again, we've opened up these pathways of discussion around the kitchen table. So the whole dynamic has shifted, and that's where our parents sometimes often play a pivotal role in helping us shape our programming. right? Mm. What is it that we need to be doing to stay relevant to the next generation of needs and opportunities for our students?
Absolutely.
So that's why it's also important to talk to the Kalins. Now, what's going on in your generation that we need to respond to? And our parents are equally as part of that conversation, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Kalin, mm-hmm. you can speak to people yeah. of your generation, and you can speak a language in some way that the rest of us who are a bit more ancient can't. So,
I just felt that ancient. I felt that.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, I felt that. Lord goodness.
Okay, great. Yeah, right. Ancient.
Yeah. Yeah, right. No, we're all a little ancient in one way or another. But no, I mean, I think there is something so valuable in allowing people to speak to their own generations because they can do it in a way that the rest of us can't. I mean, you come to this with a certain understanding, and so you are excited about the work
yeah.
that you're doing.
Yeah, it's funny you use the word ancient because, you know, even working with the students now,
oh, you
they make me feel ancient.
yeah, you old.
All of a sudden, I'm not in the loop.
Nope.
I'm not the cool kid anymore.
Nope. Nope.
You know,
you're the grizzled veteran. Yes.
I guess so. Grizzled. They used to always talk about the millennials or the next generation. Now we're the, you know, it's they've moved on.
So, Tamara Coleman, yes. I'm excited to hear about your daughter, speaking of family, and that wonderful connection to all of this.
Absolutely. I'm going to go back a little bit before I talk about my daughter. So, I used to work with Mary Lou Mahone at the Lincoln Center back in, now I'm really aging myself. Connection, you talk about family and connection. I was coming home from college. I needed a job, a quick job, and my father, Pastor Joe Wilcoxon, was able to call Mary Lou Mahone. So when I was looking at Kalin, I got like chuckled a little bit because there my dad was calling the Mahone, Tim Mahone's mother, totally different generation, right? Saying, hey, do you have anything at the Lincoln Center for my daughter? She's coming home from school, needs a job. Mary Lou Mahone, what does she say? Absolutely. Why? Because we're family, right? Mm. We do what we need to do. There was no scholarships back then. It was just grassroots, support. Just, you know, supporting the community, supporting the kids. Came home. I worked at the Lincoln Center. I was a liaison at Lincoln Elementary School. Craziest job of my entire career. But it gave me a totally different perspective of life. Right, working with kids and education, and I poured into them like Miss Mahone was pouring into me every day.
Yeah.
Right, so full circle now. Right, we're talking just a couple years later. Right, okay, well, a lot of years later. My youngest daughter had the opportunity to receive and be a recipient of the scholarship. She attended Carthage College, and now she's teaching second grade.
Wow.
And what I love the most about it is not so much that, you know, she got the scholarship, because, of course, that's important, right? Or that she, you know, was able to go to Carthage and get an education. But the journey along the way, and I know Kalin will be able to remember this. I know it was just a few years ago for you, Kalin, but you'll remember. The Mahone's still pouring in, still checking up on. Yeah, you had to do all the stuff that you had to do with the community service, and they expected that. Those are requirements. But just the check-ins, how you doing? And it wasn't just her parents checking in. You had a whole family of Mahones, and you had the support of other scholars that were just checking on you. And I think that's important along their journey of getting an education and being on this island by themselves. Yeah, they know they have their parents, but it's one thing to admit, and some may not have their parents, right? Because we have some of those as well. But just knowing that they're now part of a larger family was so powerful, and it's so impactful. And then it just kept reminding me of, even when I left the Lincoln Center and went into the corporate world, Miss Mahone was still calling. How you doing out there? You know you should be serving in the community. Are you ready to run for something? Are you going to be an elected official? And I'm thinking, girl, please, go away. She was like a grandmother to me. But it was like that nagging woman on your shoulder, like that, even though she wasn't physically there, her voice was always there. Mm. Do more. Push
probably
harder.
Probably still there.
Oh, it is. That's why I'm, yeah, it's still there. It's still there because she just constantly. So my daughter, again, now still giving back to Kenosha. She's an educator now and teaching the young minds and having that legacy still of just pouring back into our next generation. And again, I think it's powerful. And now I'm able to, so after that, she got her which she was a recipient in 2018. Of course, I then called and said, okay, I need to be a part of this. Your mom is on my shoulder. I should have probably been doing this sooner. But I still was always involved in the foundation in some way, shape, or form, whether it was Linkin Park Live or working at the Jazz Fest, volunteering my time, still giving back. So in 2019, I actually joined the scholarship committee for Kenosha a year after my daughter got the scholarship. And it has been unbelievable. As you know, I was on the school board, and I love education. But to read some of the stories from these students, I'd be crying for 3 and 4 days reading the applications. Unbelievable. The perseverance and the trials and tribulations that these kids have gone through and still pursuing higher education. I don't know that I would have their strength at their age of 18, because I don't know that I had that strength. And so it's been rewarding to see it full circle. And then you read the applications, you know who's getting the awards, and then to see it all happen at Reaching for Rainbows is just an award. And then artists talked about the parents, and you see the full thing happen. It is so powerful. And I would be remiss if I didn't say, now we're branching into Racine.
Yes.
And I had the opportunity to now read scholar applications from Racine. We had almost 50 scholarships. Every school represented the very first year of doing this.
Wow.
Again, nights of tears and crying and reading more applications. A powerful thing. It's a powerful thing.
Lots of tears involved in this kind
of work. Lots of tears. Yeah,
we have some sad and some joyous.
And they're not always tears of sadness. Sometimes it's just tears of, man, you know, and we don't know who the students are. We don't get any names. We just get information. But just to see them and what they're going through, and then to see their GPA, and to see, you know, the things that they're doing around in their community, and they're working, you know, part-time with all the things that they're having to go through. It's really a powerful thing to watch full circle. Mm. So, I mean, I can't wait for Friday night. Mm.
By the way, Tim, I love the name Reaching for Rainbows. Do you have any recollection of at what point that name, somebody came up with that, or is that something you came up with, that notion of reaching for rainbows?
Yeah, I think it just describes it, like Tamara said, and Kaylin said too, right? Investing in the potential. So you're reaching for the other side of that rainbow, and it's nothing but a pot of whatever you want it to be. Mm. And we're investing in that, but we're also making sure there's a structure there for students and families to tap into. As the world evolves and things change, we have to be prepared to teach our kids how to pivot and maneuver. Mm. And so throughout that reach, those various relationships occur so that we can have the touch points for kids to grow, respond, react, and become successful. So reaching for rainbows, because you just never know what's going to be on the other side of that. So I cannot recollect when that came about, but I know it's a reflection of my mother's desire and my dad's desire to invest in the fullest potential possible. And it's different for every student.
Sure, sure.
Different for every student.
And,
so,
and what does it feel like to see the number 25?
Oh.
I mean, can you even believe it?
That it's been, look at my gray hairs. That
you didn't have any of that
25 years ago, right? But I tell you what it means. On Friday, instead of Tim Mahone and Iris Mahone Mosley being on the stage and other adults being on the stage, what you're going to see are the students that we invested in that are currently in college, some that have graduated in their careers, on stage. Mm. So our investors, our donors, our sponsors, the audience will see the return on investment.
Yes.
So it's less from the current generation, and as much as you're going to see the leadership of the next generation and today's spokespersons of leadership, right? Accomplishment, success. Mm. And that's really what we want people to see. And it's homegrown.
Yeah.
Right? These are our students. These are our babies that we've invested in, that we've poured water over the seeds, God's blessings. And that's what we're going to see on Friday. And sometimes it sounds very simple, but I would be remiss if I didn't thank the 118 volunteers that helped make this work. Mm. I get the pleasure, artist gets the pleasure of having the voice and the lead. Oftentimes you see the face, you hear the voice, you see the quotes. But there is a major machine behind this movement that cannot be forgotten. There's so many people that have helped shape this vision on behalf of my mom and dad that I'm so proud of that. And this gives me the opportunity to say thank you, right? Because on Friday, it's a lot of work. Such a lot of work that goes into this, because we want to do it right. We want to be an example of the next generation how to pull a community together in the most simplest of fashion, and that's for each other. Hmm. There's no better motivation than do it for each other.
Of course.
And watch each other grow. So,
Reaching for Rainbows. Patti LaBelle always sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and I think that's how Tim tied that probably, because that song was always played
at the end of
everything. And so that's where the Rainbows part came in, and I think that's where Timmy took it from and brought it into that.
Well, I think it's an absolutely wonderful turn of phrase and perfectly encapsulates what this is all about. Tim Mahone, Artist Mahone, it is always so wonderful to have you in our studios
and to bring your
ferocious and wonderful energy to all of this. Tamara Coleman, thank you for being part of this and for all the good work that you're doing in the community.
Thank you.
And, of course, we are especially thankful that we could have Kaylin Bell, recipient from 2012, back now in Kenosha and working so hard to make this community even better than it already is, changing lives. Thank you for being part of this conversation as well.
Thank you for allowing me to be part of it.
And we hope everybody who gathers at Carthage College this Friday evening will be caught up in all of the joy and energy of the Mary Lou and Arthur F. Mahone Foundation. And thanks for being here, everybody, for this conversation.
Well, we got to thank you, too. Thank You've been a part of the 25 years, too, you know.
It's
been an honor and pleasure, absolutely. Tomorrow on the morning show, we're going to be talking, among other things, about the Kenosha Symphony and their concert coming up Saturday evening that finishes out their current season. And we'll talk about the production of Hairspray, a wonderful musical with a wonderful message, which is also underway at the Rody Center for the Arts in downtown Kenosha. Our weather forecast is for sunshine today and a high of 63 degrees with cooler readings near the lake, partly cloudy overnight with a low of 43. Tomorrow, once again, sunny and a high of 56 degrees. And then a nice gradual warming trend. In fact, by early next week, we should see high temperatures in the upper 70s. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha Racine.